I want you to look again, verse 5 of our text, which of course describes a very familiar scene, mostly to everybody here. Verse 5 says, "And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." For many years, little children all over the world have delighted in singing a little song about a little man by the name of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. He climbed up in the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree and he said, "Zacchaeus, please come down. Thank you." I knew I could get the little children to say it very loudly. It's a very simple song, obviously, and it is based on a very familiar story here in Luke 19. And yet, the story of Zacchaeus is arguably the one occasion in all of Scripture that best illustrates what the Lord Jesus said in verse 10 at the end of the story, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." You see, folks, Zacchaeus' testimony is your testimony, and it is my testimony. It's not that we are rich or short, not that we are chief among our peers, not that we are all Jewish or despised or businessmen as he was, but rather that we were lost. Lost and needy and ultimately rescued by the grace of God. You see, it's not just a Sunday school story for children. It's not just the basis for a children's song either instead. It is a very powerful scene along the ancient road out of Jericho that God would have all of us to pay very close attention to indeed. Our Father, we need your help today and we pray for it. We thank you, God, for ministering to our hearts already. Through the fellowship of your people, your presence, through the music. And I pray, God, now you will convict and guide. Correct us, Lord. Speak to our hearts. For those in this room who are not saved, who, if they were to die on their way home, would go into an eternal hell, I pray, God, that you will convict them today to the truth that the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. There are several things about Zacchaeus this morning, the person Zacchaeus, that made a man like him to be so hated and despised by his own people in the land of Israel. For one thing, Zacchaeus, like all publicans, was considered a traitor against God and his nation. Why? Because a publican like Zacchaeus was a Jew who sort of sold out to the Roman government by helping the Romans collect taxes from the Israelites. In other words, in order to avoid paying the taxes themselves, and as a way of making a lot of money for themselves, the publicans decided to help their conquerors, and for some it was high treason. Imagine a Jewish Nazi sympathizer during the Second World War. Even the Romans had little respect for the Jewish publicans who so quickly turned on their own people. That's not all. Because in addition to that, the publicans had been granted so much power and so much immunity by the Romans that this whole business of collecting taxes was corrupted. It was graft and greed and thievery, and so Zacchaeus confessed in verse 8 that he took some money from false accusation. And of course, not only was Zacchaeus a publican and a traitor, not only was he a deceitful, greedy man, but according to verse 2, he was also the chief, quote, chief of the publicans who had gotten rich in his deceit. Chief among all the publicans, a very dubious distinction indeed. So, what you have here is a greedy, covetous, rich, corrupted, lying traitor, as it were, the kind of man that nobody likes, everybody hates, a powerful and proud force in the city of Jericho. Which makes it seem a little strange that this same Zacchaeus is found in our text, running like a little child and then climbing a tree like a little child. These acts were far below the dignity of Middle Eastern men in the first century. And he's doing this all for the purpose of just getting a glimpse at a poor man, a poor visitor from Galilee. And the question is why? What made Zacchaeus want to do this? What motivated him? Did Levi, also known as Matthew, did Matthew, one of his former cohorts or employees, did he talk to him about Jesus? Did he hear about the blind man just outside the city? Or since as a publican he was barred from entrance into the temple, maybe he was so miserable and maybe he was so empty with all of his money, he was seeking for some kind of peace. Maybe He's the same publican that Jesus talked about in the chapter before this, chapter 18. Look at it, verse 13. "And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner." We don't know if that's him, but we do know this. We know, for some reason, Zacchaeus put aside his dignity. He ignored his stature, and he climbed a tree. He climbed a tree just in order to get a glimpse of this stranger. And here, ladies and gentlemen, is where his testimony and your testimony begin. For example, notice the first part beginning in verse 3. "And he sought to see Jesus who he was, and he could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." In other words, the very first thing that Zacchaeus must have thought when Jesus stopped at, quote, the place is, number one, he sees me. Up in that tree, not for the purpose of being seen, but for the purpose of seeing, there Zacchaeus realized that Jesus sees him. He made eye contact with Zacchaeus. So in other words, not only was Zacchaeus trying to see Jesus, and he was, but the truth of the matter is, the Lord Jesus was already seeking Zacchaeus. Verse 10, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Do you realize that there's not one single two-syllable word in that whole verse? That entire sentence, not one two-syllable word, and yet it gives the theme of this gospel message. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're a child of God here this morning, if you're saved, I want to tell you something. Long before you ever trusted in Christ, long before you turned your eyes upon Him, Jesus had already made eye contact with you. Long before you loved God, God already loved you. 1 John 4:19, we love Him because He first loved us. You see, folks, Jesus did not love Zacchaeus after He went home, after His life was changed, and then He fed the poor. That's when other people loved Zacchaeus. Jesus loved him in that tree. Jesus loved him as a traitor. Jesus loved him when he was a thief. What are you saying, Pastor? I am saying that God loves you and loved you even when you were lost and alienated from Him. He saw you when you were lost. He sees you now. He saw you when, without Him, you were sinful, hopeless, and empty. And even then, God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son when you were unlovable. You know, the last line in verse 3 says that Zacchaeus was, quote, of little stature. You know, years ago, I was curious about that. I looked it up, and the Greek word for little there is the Greek word micro, as in microscopic, microcosm, microfilm. So, you know, the Greek word literally means small, and although it's become a prefix that stands for a millionth, nevertheless, in the first century, he was indeed very small. You know why? Because the average height of a Middle Eastern male in those days, 2,000 years ago, was 4 foot 8 inches. So imagine the 4 foot 8 inch tall guy looking at someone else and calling him micro. He must have been very small. Imagine the ridicule. Imagine the rejection Zacchaeus received for that, along with his guilty conscience and the hatred of his countrymen. This man was lost. He was not the well-loved, favored man of Jericho. But Jesus, his Creator, saw him. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, he sees you. And no, you may not be short of stature, but you're probably impossibly short of status, or short of talent, short of ability, short of money, short of food. I'm definitely not short of food up here, amen? My dad used to say, we don't use the word diet in this house. Diet's a dirty word, and if you use it, I'm going to wash your mouth out with chocolate, amen? Hence the problem. Zacchaeus realized, he sees me. He sees me. I remember years ago in Tennessee, there was a woman in our church, and she was talking about something or another, and she told me about the time that she went to hear Elvis Presley in concert in Memphis in the 60s. And as she told the story, you could tell that she was getting more and more excited because she was leading up to the big finish of the story. Well, you know what the big finish was? She said, Brother Jim, as he was leaving the stage and I was screaming his name, Elvis, she said, you know what? He looked right at me. I was still waiting for the big finish, the pièce de résistance, but that was it. And when I realized it, I said, oh, I said, are you sure he wasn't looking behind you or over you? She said, no. She got a little testy. She said, I'm telling you, Elvis, out of 10,000 people, was looking right at me. And that was the high point of her life, apparently. I'm telling you that out of billions of people, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, sees you, looks directly at you. He may be looking directly at your heart this morning if you're lost. And through the Holy Spirit wants you to know that. Verse 5. Zacchaeus thought he sees me, but that's not all. Look at verse 5 again. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Mister? He said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste. In other words, not only must Zacchaeus have thought, number one, he sees me, now he must be thinking, number two, he knows me. In other words, imagine what that lady from Tennessee would have thought had Elvis looked at her and then out of 10,000 people said, hello, Beverly. Actually, it would have been, hello, Beverly. I mean, judging by her reaction, just from the eye contact, if he had called her name. People are moved when everyday strangers can remember their name, because it's an indication that that person knows you to some degree. For some, your name may be all that someone knows about you. But for the Lord Jesus, it's only the beginning. If Zacchaeus thought he knows me, Zacchaeus had no idea. Because you know, the Lord Jesus knew a whole lot more about Zacchaeus than that publican could ever imagine. Say, Pastor, how did he know Zacchaeus by name? The same way he knows you by name. The same way he knows your desires and your fears and your joys and your problems and your dreams and your sins. You can mark it down there right now. The Lord Jesus sees you and he knows you. He knows and he cares about the deepest need of your heart. This is Zacchaeus' testimony, and yes, this is your testimony, but that's not all. Verse 5 again. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste. Make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. You know what he must be thinking now? He sees me. He knows me. And number three, he welcomes me. I want you to dwell on this for just a moment. He who knows everything about you. All of the good, if there is any, and all of the bad, which there is much. All of the public and all of the private. All of the successes, all the failures, all of your joys and all of your sorrows. He who knows your entire past, everything in your present, and your entire future, he still welcomes you. And most specifically, welcomes you to become one of his own. By the way, even if it means to scandalize his own name, do you know that Jesus welcomes you? Look at verse 7. And when they, got to watch out for they. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he, Jesus, was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. By the way, did you notice that it says they, the people, murmured against Christ? Do you realize this is the same crowd described in the last verse of chapter 18? Look at verse 43. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. In other words, the same crowd that praised him on Monday for healing a blind man murmured against him on Tuesday for ministering to a sinful man. Such is the nature of the crowd. But you know, God's Son did not come to seek and to save votes for an office. The Son of Man did not come to seek and to save for himself fame or popularity in this world. The Lord wasn't moved by the crowd or by the size of his following. He was moved rather by the Father's will, rejoices over one sinner who repents. And yes, the Lord Jesus was fully aware of what people would say about him. And even still, he didn't choose to stay at the mayor's house or the chief rabbi's house, or the chief Pharisee's house. Hebrews 2:11 says, "For he that sanctifieth and they are sanctified are all one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren." Not ashamed, yes, he welcomes me, but not because I'm good. Not because I'm popular or holy or talented or handsome, certainly not because he doesn't know me. He welcomes me because he wanted me as his own. And you know, there is no struggling with self-esteem when you believe that. You know what, folks? The only measuring stick you need for your self-worth is the cross of Calvary. Jesus sees you, and he knows you, and he welcomes you. This is Zacchaeus' testimony, and if you're saved this morning, it is your testimony. No wonder it says in verse 6 that Zacchaeus came down from that tree. He came down and received Jesus, quote, joyfully. Joy is the natural result of coming to Jesus Christ. And every one of us here this morning who names the name of Christ can rejoice, not because the demons are subject to us, not because we had a good week, not because there's money in the bank, but because he who sees us and knows us and welcomed us has taken our name and written it down in the Lamb's Book of Life, where it will remain for all of eternity. Zacchaeus, why would Jesus want you? You're a traitor, deceitful, unpopular, gotten rich through crime. Why would the Son of God want you? And by the way, why would the Son of God want you, Brother Sam? Brother Kevin? Brother Steve? The answer is in verse 10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. These little bus kids, some of which come from poor and broken homes that we bring to church, you know, I want to come and get them because, and people ask me this oftentimes from other churches, why, in all the effort it takes to have Awana or junior church and the programs and VBS and Sunday school and people go to jails and nursing homes, why do that? Because God has called us to be fishers of men, not keepers of an aquarium. Because we believe that Jesus welcomes them, rich, poor, young, old. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, Jesus said, and I will give you rest. It leads us to a final point in Zacchaeus' testimony. And once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you're saved, it's your testimony as well. Verse 5. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. For today I must abide at thy house. Now wait a minute. Zacchaeus must have thought, he sees me, he knows me, now he welcomes me, and now, Zacchaeus, I must abide at thy house, which means, number 4, he's calling me. He's calling me. You say, Pastor, I'm not called to preach. Nope, but every believer is called to something. He who has this great multitude of followers is calling me, Zacchaeus realized, to open my home up to him. If you read in the earlier verses, verse 31 and 34, Jesus said, go and get a donkey. I have need of him. If a donkey will submit to God's need, how in the world can we say no to it? Look at verse 6, would you? And he, Zacchaeus, made haste. He hurried. He came down and received him joyfully. Here's a man, he scurried down, he made haste, he received Jesus with joy. By the way, remember how he ran and climbed that tree like a little child in the first place? Well, here he's really acting like a child. He's scurrying down that tree, he's receiving Jesus with joy. That's why a long time ago, I took a pen and I drew a little line in my Bible. A line from verse 6 in our text across the page to chapter 18. In verse 17, it says there, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. The Lord Jesus, ladies and gentlemen, welcomed the biggest sinner in town. And like a little child, that sinner ran to the Lord and to the Savior of the world and of his soul with joy. I remind you, beloved, again, of how this whole story came about. What does verse 1 say? Chapter 19, look at it. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. In other words, now follow this. The Lord Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. By the end of this one chapter, the Lord is riding a donkey into the city and weeping over it. He's going to Jerusalem to die for the sins of the world. He's on his way to Jerusalem to give his life as God in the flesh to seek and to save that which was lost. The lost, just like Zacchaeus. Dr. Richard Selzer, MD, wrote a book years ago called Mortal Lessons. It was basically a book about his observations through the years of dealing with people in the worst situations in their lives. In one incident, I remember, he talks about having to remove a tumor from a woman's face. In the process, he said, in order to save her life, he had to remove a tiny little twig of a facial nerve. In doing so, he left her lips in a twisted palsy. She was devastated, this woman who had a beautiful countenance. She asked the doctor after the surgery, "Will my mouth always be twisted like this?" And he said, "Yes." The nerve was cut. Just then, Dr. Setzer said that the woman's husband, who was standing there, spoke up. And he looked at her, and he said, "I like it." He said, "It's kind of cute," and he bent over and he twisted his own lips and kissed her just to show that their kiss still worked. Ladies and gentlemen, the reason why Jesus came into Zacchaeus' home is because he was going to Calvary, where there, as the perfect and sinless Son of God, he would condescend and be twisted by sin to save man where he is and lift him up to where Christ will be forever. Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And Zacchaeus made haste, and he came down, and he received Christ joyfully. Of course he did. How could Zacchaeus say no to the call of God? And how in the world can you and I say no? You know, as well as I do this morning, for the Christians in this room, our Lord could have stayed at anybody's home that day. He could have spoken a home into existence. He could have been ministered to by angels, but he didn't. He chose to allow a man to meet that immediate need. He had a calling for him, and he has a calling for you. What a lot of Christians choose to forget is that Jesus calls you to represent him at work, in your neighborhood, at home, at school, wherever you go. He calls you to train your children to the glory of God and your grandchildren. He calls you to invite that backslider back to church and win that lost one to Christ. You're the one he calls to support his local church and stand for the truth and scripture and support missions in this dark world. He must abide at thy house. And you know, when he doesn't become the guest like the Pharisees thought. He becomes the master. Look at verse 8. And Zacchaeus stood. And he said unto the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." In other words, Jesus sees me, Jesus knows me, he welcomed me, he calls me. And Zacchaeus' response was, "He can have me." Don't misunderstand, Zacchaeus wasn't saved by giving to the poor or making restitution. That was the result of his great salvation. Zacchaeus was saved by his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's exactly why he is called a son of Abraham in verse 9. He also is a son of Abraham. Galatians 3:7, "They which are of faith, they are the children of Abraham." Look at verse 9. "And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." I ask you a question and I'll close. Wherever and whoever you are in this room today, realize this: the Lord Jesus God sees you. Not only does he see you, he knows you. And inasmuch as the Lord sees and knows you, he welcomes you. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and carrying out His ministry in this world, He also calls you if you're a Christian. So that the real question is, can He have you? You know, one thing's for sure, He deserves you. What Christ is saying to every one of us here today is this. Today, I must abide at thy house. Make haste. Today, I must abide permanently at thy house. And when you receive Him, changes are made in your house, just as they were here. Sometimes great changes. If you're here today, before we get to the calling part, you must hear His voice to be saved. He sees you. He knows you. He knows you're a sinner. He went to Jerusalem. He died on a cross for your sins. He was buried. He was resurrected, as even the world will recognize in a couple of weeks. And He's ascended to the right hand of the Father. Now He wants to save you. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Is He seeking you? Something in your heart telling you, I'm lost. I need to be saved. Then make haste. Receive Christ joyfully today. Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You for this powerful reminder that the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And Zacchaeus' testimony is our testimony. We were not worthy. We were not good enough. But Christ came to save us, and we thank You. We pray for those who have asked for prayer. Lord, I pray that all of us as Christians will recognize that we have a great calling. Christ is to abide in our house, and changes are to be made. For those that are not sure about salvation, convict them, Lord, that they too must be born again. We'll give You the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.